So last night I was nearing the end of this book, Catching Up with Gandhi. And I'm just, even though I don't really appreciate the book as much, it's just amazing hearing stories of what he did, and especially at the end of his life, where politically all of his disciples basically deserted him and nobody listened to him. What happened with the creation of India and Pakistan was exactly opposite what he struggled his whole life for, in a certain way, certainly with all of the violence. So I just wanted to read a passage or two. There's a place called Noakhali in eastern India, it's now Bangladesh, where there was this massacre that took place. It's a place where Hindus and Muslims had lived together, like many places in India. And in this, I think, like four times as many Muslims as Hindus, but the Hindus were more of the well-off population, even though they're the minority there. And there was just terrible rape and massacre. And, I don't even want to read about that part, but he goes there while the viceroy is negotiating with his two disciples, Nehru and Patel. Gandhi leaves, because he's not listened to there anyways, and he just goes to Noakhali to see what he can do. His message, as he began to speak in the villages of Noakhali, was simple. He told the Muslims who came in their thousands to see the first of his prayer meetings that what their community had done was nothing less than a blot on Islam. If they wanted to truly honor their faith, they should not be the persecutors of the Hindu minority, but their guardians. To the Hindus, especially the women, he showed great tenderness, but asked of them both courage and their willingness to forgive and forget. It was no good to let bitterness take hold of their minds. Gandhi himself, with two or three companions, including the professor who was teaching him Bengali, chose a village called Srirampur, which was now virtually disappeared from the map. It was a place where the savagery and destruction had been at their worst. There, living in a simple hut, he began the slow, demanding process of trying to rebuild trust and harmony. In one way, he was thoroughly at home. However arduous the task, the villages of India were where his heart and hope had always been. Each day he rose at 4, prayed, wrote letters, spent time spinning, then walked in the village or to nearby hamlets, offering to treat the sick with his nature cure method, and led 2 interfaith prayer meetings, morning and evening. They were always held on open ground, well away from mosques and temples, and always attended by both Muslims and Hindus. Within days, the Hindus in those communities had begun to move about freely again, and even to sound their drums and cymbals, which they had stopped after the massacre when they went into hiding. Gandhi's presence and his challenge gave them confidence. Soon, he had brought together 30 people from both communities to discuss a plan to restore communal harmony. Less than 3 weeks after he arrived in the area, the plan had been agreed to at a public meeting. Then, after 6 weeks in Srirampur, he felt it was time to reach out as widely as he could to take his message to villages still in the grip of fear. Early in January 1947, he set out with the aim of staying in a different village every night. Over the next 2 months, this man of 77 slept in no less than 47 villages. From the beginning of this epic journey, Gandhi insisted on taking off his sandals and walking barefoot. When one of his companions saw the cuts on his feet and protested, he replied simply, "We tread on holy ground where people have lost their loved ones. How can I wear sandals here?"